This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's get the latest from One Bills Drive. Covering the Buffalo Bills for ESPN's NFL Nation, ESPN.com. Marcel Louis-Jacques, his weekly visit here in the sports bar. One of our regulars, always appreciate the time. Marcel, how you been?
Been great, man. Looking forward to another exciting week. Just being at home, like I said last week, it's really nice to wake up on Monday morning and not have to call the Uber, pack your room, you know, hope that everything's on time, and just kind of enjoy the morning. And get on with the week.
Marcel,
excited for another week of that.
We recognize that the Buffalo Bills, since you've taken over the beat at ESPN, are undefeated, preseason included. Have you noticed yet that Bills Mafia has a little bit of Stockholm Syndrome when it comes to the New England Patriots?
Yeah, but there's a little bit of Stockholm, a little bit of cautious optimism, cautious skepticism. I'm not sure what to call it, but we touched on it a bit last week that, you know, people are kind of willing to or unwilling to really believe that this team can contend until it happens. And so here's a this is a week for them to see that. But I don't necessarily think the players see it that way. And I don't know if it's just all locker room talk.
Yeah, Marcel, before we do a deep dive into that game, Your first home game. I mean, there were a couple preseason games. So in Buffalo, initial impressions here, and are people already in the parking lot right now? I can only imagine that maybe there are some campers out there.
Man, if they're not out there by tomorrow, I wouldn't be shocked to see them start to trickle in on Friday. But it was like a city holiday almost, man. It felt like something that everybody has been really waiting for years or months. And I thought what was cool was it's a pretty unique feature of New Era Field that the press box, in order to get there, you don't have to go through the stadium tunnels and take the elevator up. You just go right from the concourse and take a couple stairs. And that allows you to, you know, get to that concourse and walk around and enjoy the atmosphere. And I did exactly that on Sunday, and just the people, how excited they were to get up to their seats, the overall vibe, it was so energetic, and it was so fun to be around that, you know, while weather permitting, of course. But I think it's something that I'm going to do every week just to get that feel.
Marcel, you're spending time around Sean McDermott. He's, you know, giving us what he gives us at his press conferences, which isn't much, but you can take little things from Sean McDermott. And his demeanor this week, starting with the win on Sunday, it feels like he's, well, I mean, you're 3-0, so he's in a better place. Do you see a difference from Sean McDermott now? I mean, he's, I don't know if there's a word, a feeling that I have that just from listening to him and how he sounds. Are you picking up on anything new or different with Sean McDermott now that the team is 3-0?
Not necessarily. And I think that's by design. I think he has to present a calm and consistent front, not only to the world, but to his team and players as well. And it's something that, you know, I talked to some of the guys about today in the locker room that, you know, you're 3-0 and the hype is starting to swirl and people are starting to talk about you. But is it, you know, is it easier to just block that stuff out or kind of hear it, accept it, and use it as motivation and run with it? And they said it starts with McDermott, that they tune it out. This isn't a chance for them to prove anything to anybody. You know, respect isn't earned. It's not gained in September. Super Bowl is not won in September. I truly don't think this team sees a game against the Patriots as a measuring stick at all. And matter of fact, Micah Hyde came out and said it's absolutely not. So I think a lot of that, like I said, comes from Sean McDermott's demeanor. And, you know, everybody's really bought into to what he's selling internally.
But somewhere in the back of their mind, you got to realize that the world, you win this game.
This is the ultimate measuring stick.
The world changes. You're 4-0, and really you have a two-game lead if you consider that, you know, tiebreakers being what they are, and Tennessee's ahead, my, you know, bye week, Miami. We could be talking first-place Buffalo Bills into mid-October. Who knows? I mean, somewhere in the back of their mind, Marcel, no hints whatsoever about the opportunity that lies ahead for this team.
And I don't, I really, and I say that, I don't think they don't, they see it that way. And I can actually, I can give a little anecdotal example here. Well, Cole Beasley told me, you know, they could win the first 8 games in a row, but if they lose the next 8, then they're probably out the playoffs. And, you know, I saw it firsthand last year. Carolina Panthers got off to a 6-2 start and finished the season 7-9. And so, you know, mid-season, October, September hype, in the grand scheme of things, only means something in the exact moment. And that's something Colt said, that you have to really try. It's hard, but you really have to try to live in the moment, because that's where the successful teams lie. If you get too far ahead of yourself and you start thinking, okay, well, if we beat New England here, then we can afford a loss here, or we could do that. You start looking over your shoulder at what somebody else is doing. And that's when you shoot yourself in the foot. So I think they're just, we joke about it all the time in the room that it's McDermott's favorite line, but I really think they're just taking it day by day. I think they're drinking that Kool-Aid, and, you know, hey, if it's worked to the tune of three wins so far, then, I mean, why fix it if it ain't broke?
Well, Marcel, and, you know, the players, I guess I can accept that they're not viewing this game as that, as a measuring stick, but as an organization. I mean, when you're an NFL organization, the Bills or any organization, that is the standard that you're looking up to, is the New England Patriots. Every organization wants to be what the New England Patriots are, achieve the success that they have, and every roster is designed, should be designed, especially in the AFC East, to beat the New England Patriots. So once you know the outcome of Sunday's game, you have a pretty good idea of what needs to be done to either beat the New England Patriots or where you stand against the New England Patriots moving forward.
Yeah, and, you know, from the outside perspective, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that the Patriots are the class of the NFL. And that's something, a title that you earn when you win as many titles as they've won in such a short amount of, but really not even a short amount of time, over this is prolonged success. And I do think, you know, you beat the Patriots here at home, this is probably their best shot to do it while you're hot, while you're relatively healthy, and while you're at home. I think this is a big moment for Buffalo. You know, you look at that schedule, and it's our favorite thing to talk about in the segment, but you look at that schedule, there's 6 or 7 wins that you could probably pencil in on paper, but there's going to be some games where you need to, there's going to be some times, some weeks where you got to win a game that you're not expected to. You got to win a game you're not supposed to, whether it's New England this week, Philadelphia in, I believe, week 8, whether it's Baltimore down the line at home. You got to be able to take one of these. And I mean, that's their first opportunity to do so here, but you're right. This is essentially, we can find out what temperature the water is here in Buffalo based on how they perform against an elite opponent.
Talking to Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN.com. Normally, I wouldn't ask you about the opposing conference call, but it is Bill Belichick. So did that happen today? Did he give you anything, or did you just come away thinking that Bill Belichick thinks this Buffalo Bills team is the best team in the NFL?
It was yesterday morning, and he praised the environment, he praised the atmosphere, but, you know, you're not expecting to get much out of Bill Belichick from any of these. You're not really expected to get much out of any coach, from one of these teleconferences, but, for him to go out of his way and say, and speak to the environment in Buffalo, I think that really confirms something that I know everybody here knows, everybody, you know, believes locally, but it really confirms the reputation that this atmosphere is one of those upper echelon in the NFL, right up there with Lambeau, right up there with Arrowhead. It's really hard to those are the top three right there, Buffalo, Green Bay, and Kansas City off the top of my head, maybe Seattle as well, where there is just a noticeable difference between that stadium and the average stadium in the league. So I think that's something that Bills fans can really hang their hats on.
Marcel, take us to the practice field today. We hear Devin Singletary not out there. It certainly feels like he's trending towards missing his second game. Who else was absent from practice, and what updates can you offer in terms of injuries for the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, not a great start to the week for Devin Singletary. Looks like his hamstring is a little more serious than I initially thought. But that's why I'm not a doctor, right? John Feliciano, positive sign to see him out there in a red non-contact. He was in a neck brace, like a roll kind of brace after the game on Sunday. So that's a pretty quick turnaround. Things are looking positive for him moving forward. Taron Johnson, he was limited in practice. If he was limited, then I couldn't see it because he didn't have the red contact jersey on. It looked like he was about as close to a full go as you could hope for at this stage. And based on anything that he and I have spoke about over the past few weeks, this was a target date for him after injuring his hamstring in week one. Zay Jones, red non-contact jersey. That's the first that I had seen. That's the first that I think any of us had heard of him being injured, but I don't think it's anything to be concerned about as far as his availability goes. And the same goes for Tre'Davious White.
We're talking to Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN.com. Marcel, Danger and I have been having some fun. I don't know if you've ever heard this cliche, but Bill Belichick will take away what you do best on offense. Who would be that person on the Buffalo Bills? Would it be Josh Allen? Would it be wide receiver John Brown? Who might be that that target that the Patriots want to eliminate here and then worry about everything else?
I mean, you're probably taking away either taking away Josh Allen's ability to improvise or turning it against them. You're giving him looks where for all the things he does well this year, while he's scrambling and while he's extending the play, the first sign of an open look he gets, he's letting that thing go. We saw it on the interception of Cole Beasley. He said he was trying to throw it out of bounds. Looked like it was going directly toward Beasley, who broke free for a hot second. It's what we saw when he threw it to Tommy Sweeney in the end zone, who in all reality, he was very covered. It was nearly a touchdown, only because the safety in the area had turned around briefly. If he was facing Josh in the line of scrimmage the entire time, that's probably a pick going the other way. But they can disguise that coverage, give him a look that he thinks he has, and make him pay for it. And I think that might be what New England tries to do defensively on Sunday.
Marcel, one of your colleagues on the beat, Joe Biscaglia, I remember when the Bills drafted Josh Allen, the full scouting report of Josh Allen was released, and we kind of broke down all the film, and he made the comment that he is the Derek Zoolander of NFL prospects, that he can only turn one way, and it certainly feels like what we've seen out of Josh Allen and his improvisational skills, he's scrambling right. Is it fair to think that New England will do everything they can to force Allen to scramble to the less comfortable left side?
I think it's safe to assume, yeah. But we did see him go left a couple times. There's a couple memorable plays. The first long. First long catch and run to Dawson Knox. He scrambled to his left, and he picked up a first down, tucking the ball after breaking the tackle, going to his left hand side. So I think he's got the ability. I want to say this is more coincidence than not, but any weakness, any possible weakness you have on either side of the ball, you can probably bet that Bill Belichick and company are looking to exploit it.
I'm glad you brought up Dawson Knox, because that was somebody we obviously didn't get to see much of throughout training camp, and there he is making that Bavaro type of play. Could he become a big part of this offense, Marcel?
I think he can. And Tyler Croft is his availability is not looking great. Did not practice today. Could see him noticeably limping still in the locker room, which, once again, not a great sign 5 or so days after the injury. But I think we saw a little bit of how Brian Daboll wants to use Dawson Knox. You saw him take jet sweeps. You saw him go in motion as both a lead blocker and just as a decoy and going to run a route. He's starting to get a feel for how Josh Allen likes to scramble, and he's been reliable in that scramble drill, getting back to the ball. And then after the catch, the guy just, he doesn't want to go down. And you don't often see that out of these bigger guys, but man, he's just looking to go through you at any given opportunity. So I don't want to call him one of these, or compare him to one of the elite tight ends in the league, like a Kelce or Gronk before him. But the way that he's being used kind of reminds you of how Kansas City uses Kelce, how Tennessee and San Francisco before used Delanie Walker. He's just one of those kind of jackknife type weapons. And it's a pleasant surprise, because like you said, this is not something that we saw a lot of in the preseason. It's not something we saw any of, for that matter, in the preseason. He was out the entire time. He missed all the training camp. He missed, you know, all but I think a game or two in the preseason. So it's a positive sign for him going forward. I think it's just another weapon that this franchise and these fans can be excited about.
Marcel, it feels like the Bills continue to pass to set up the run, and run they were able to do, to, you know, in limited form against the Bengals. Frank Gore continues to defy the odds. Is a duo of Frank Gore and TJ Yeldon enough when you're really thinking that Singletary might not be available, that dynamic playmaker ability that he showed us in weeks 1 and 2 might not be available against the Patriots? Will a run game of Gore and Yeldon be enough on Sunday?
I don't love it. I don't love the tandem. It kind of seems like TJ Yeldon, he's not a bad running back, but he's at this point probably a good bet to put the ball on the ground if he gets it enough. And that's not a good thing when you're really the last line of defense if Frank Gore is to go down. But I mean, Gore, like you said, he is the eternal Frank Gore. And he's still effective with that ball in his hands. It shouldn't be a surprise, given he just averaged, I think, 4.6 yards per carry with Miami last year. But he's got double-digit carries. He's handled double-digit carries each week. I don't love the run game. I don't love the backfield without Singletary's ability to break that big play. I think that... that's something really unique to him in this backfield. And you saw Frank Gore a couple of times getting to that second level of the defense. But, I mean, that's where his limitations lie, is that home run breakaway speed. He's great at moving the chains. But that big play, those big plays that you're going to need to beat a team like New England, maybe few and far between if Singletary can't go.
And it brings us back to Josh Allen, I suppose. If the Bills are going to have any shot, it's got to be Allen. And if he's making plays like he did, say, in the Bengals second half of that game. So where's the line, Marcel, when it comes to something like that? Because there's a quarterback there that is making plays that others physically can't. And the coaches, I'm sure, at some point want to knock it out of him, like the Detroit preseason game. Hey, don't throw across your body, which he did again, but it got away with it against the Bengals. So what's your sense of how the Bills are managing Josh Allen? Because you want him to be good at, you know, what makes him so special, but then again, it's also getting him into some trouble here.
Yeah, and it's something I wrote about today, that there's no, you know, concrete algorithm or formula for him to know, okay, if you're scrambling and XYZ is happening, throw it away. It's really situational. And one thing Brian Daboll told me that they don't want to do is take Josh Allen's instincts away from him, or any player for that matter. And quite frankly, those instincts, the same ones that are digging, that can dig Buffalo in a hole or potentially lose a game for them, are also what's been so successful on these game-winning drives and these fourth-quarter comebacks. He just kind of – he has that intangible factor to, you know, kind of never say die on a play. And that's great in crunch time. It's not so great, you know, when extending a drive is more important than, you know, extending a play. And it's really just going to, it's going to have to be up to him. He's going to, he's young still, but as he develops and as he grows in the game, I think he'll be able to figure out, you know, when to tuck it, when to throw it, and when to get rid of it.
Marcel, you mentioned that conversation with Brian Daboll, writing about that at ESPN.com. You're always gracious with your time to join us here in the Sports Bar. What else are you working on this week? Patriots Week at the, on the site. What do you got going on?
Yeah, I think my main post this week, it revolves around that something that we all touched on earlier in this conversation about you know, what this game actually means, what winning this game means, where these players can find the line between you know, wanting respect and ignoring the outside noise. Yeah, everybody, you got to say it, otherwise you're going to get ripped for it. And they got to say things like, oh, we don't listen to the media, we don't read XYZ, we don't blah, 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 blah. Very few of these guys genuinely don't read anything or don't at least see it. And so there's got to be a line between ignoring criticism and ignoring praise, but still wanting the respect that you deserve. Because at the end of the day, they might be bigger, faster, stronger than the rest of us, but they're still human. And deep down, all of us really want. I don't know if anybody doesn't like having their accomplishments recognized. So that's what I'm interested in this week. That's what I'm chasing down this week. And then we're just getting ready for Sunday from there.
Marcel, you know, they don't hear things, they don't read things, but then, yeah, if you write something they don't like, but funny, you read that, you didn't like it. Have you had that moment yet in the NFL where somebody approached you to the side and say, hey, I didn't like that?
No, thankfully not yet. Haven't had that moment, but haven't had to be overly critical of anyone yet. So you know, knock on wood, because those are always pretty awkward. But as long as you believe what you write, you can rationally explain it, and you can show your face. That's the most important thing. If you're gonna write something critical, if you're gonna say that, you have to be able to show your face in that locker room the next day. And as long as you do those things, then you don't really have much to worry about.
Hey, listen, man, I'm a bottom line type of guy. And all I know is the Buffalo Bills are undefeated as long as you've been on the beat for ESPN. So, Marcel, you're doing a great job. We appreciate you, as always, coming in into the Sports Bar. Spend some time with us to talk about the Bills.
Hey, you know, I love being here. Thanks for having me once again. Looking forward to next week.
You got it. Marcel Louis-Jacques, covering the Bills at ESPN.com, ESPN NFL Nation.
Yeah, he's got that good article up that if you're wondering, how are the Bills going to try to manage this? Yeah, it's a tricky line to walk there with Josh Allen. The answer is he's got to figure it out on his own, right? He's got to figure it out that you cannot make that play, but sometimes extending plays leads to great things.
I like the way they're managing him. You know, and you see Brian Daboll getting his ear when he makes a boneheaded play, but you also see him after the game when they win, giving him the love. Think about how you treat your kids. You manage your kids, right? You're parenting, but you're managing them.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Concept.
Managing is the same thing as raising your kid. You could do it the same way. The same concepts apply. If you're good at it, it's evident. And look, I've been critical of Brian Daboll up to this point, but I like what Brian Daboll has done this year. And seeing him after the game at Cincinnati, giving hugs to Josh Allen, after he was chewing him out earlier in the half? Yeah.
Well, coaching's different for different players. Like, and I'm glad Marcel brought up TJ Yeldon, okay? He stopped short of saying he's no good. Look, he put the ball in the turf again, okay? No, there's a different... That's not parenting, okay? You do this again, you're going to lose a job, okay? You don't perform, you're going to... That's the cruel nature of the NFL. You will lose your job.
No, that's just setting an expectation.
Right, but for Josh Allen, no. You have a different standard, and...
Everybody's got expectations. Yeah. You set the expectations, you deliver on those expectations. If you don't deliver on those expectations, we will find somebody who can. It's pretty simple. Let's get to NFL appetizers next in the sports bar. We serve up today's top NFL stories in bite-sized form. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
Could we be having an end to the holdout for Melvin Gordon? We'll tell you what we know on that. Jalen Ramsey's come up with another excuse not to attend practice. And what's the latest on the Patriot injury report? Julian Edelman and others coming up in appetizer.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports ESPN Rochester.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.